This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
The winners and the losers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. No doubt about it, it was a tough year for Wall Street. There were losses across the board yesterday, though gains were posted for the year. I'll run down the specifics coming up. But first, a look at the big winner for 2007, China. The Shanghai Composite Index climbed almost 97% on the year. At the same time, it was hardly an easy year for China, with accelerating inflation, product safety issues, and growing environmental concerns. Here's a way to think about the congestion in China in this holiday travel season. Imagine a country the same size as ours, with four times the people, all on the road at once. A new policy that begins today aims to reduce the logjam. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
In China, everyone vacations at the same time. Until today. The new rules introduced to China something most Americans take for granted, paid vacation days that workers can use whenever they choose. Chinese employees will also get more days off than they did before. Consultant Shushmul Maheshwari says the point is to encourage spending. Right now, folks save too much.
Especially in Asia, people plan for the future and really don't live for today. With this kind of promotion, it will help the new generation to really go and spend and enjoy life also. That's a big, big change that will happen.
In 12 years, the number of Chinese tourists overseas is expected to triple to 100 million, and many will see the U.S. A new trade deal between the countries will smooth the process for approving visas and tour operators. How much does the average Chinese visitor spend coming to the States? $6,000. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Wall Street has a day off to ring in the new year and celebrate the end of a year rocked by the word subprime. The Dow fell 101 points yesterday to 13,264. For the year, the Dow Jones Industrials finished with a nearly 6.5% increase. The Nasdaq fell 22 points to 2662, finishing the year with a nearly 10% gain. The S&P 500 fell 10 points on the last day of 2007, gaining just over 3.5% for the year. Japan's Nikkei fell 11% on the year. One of the nation's harshest anti-immigration laws goes into effect today in Arizona. If a company knowingly hires undocumented workers, it could lose its business license. The idea is if there are no jobs keeping them in Arizona, immigrants will head back across the southern border. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports the exodus may have already begun.
Dawn McLaren with Arizona State University recently took a road trip as part of her research into the economics of immigration.
If you go down our main highway to our southern border, you'll see lots of people returning home with refrigerators and dining room sets and obviously entire households. This indicates to me that they're not going home just for the holidays.
McLaren says this is a permanent move, and it's an ominous sign for Arizona's economy. The state depends on immigrants for 10% of its workforce.
there is damage being done to our economy. We are already looking at a softening economy that perhaps is not going to be able to just bounce back quickly.
The state already faces a labor shortage, and it looks to be getting worse. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In 2008, convergence seems to be more than ever the name of the game in technology. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli takes a look at what's in store with this year ahead.
To get a grip on what to expect in 2008, one place to turn is the Consumer Electronics Show, which kicks off on January 7th in Las Vegas. The show's Jason Oxman says more than 20,000 products will be introduced, and many will try to address the growing demand by consumers to free their content from the limits of one platform.
They want to make it easy to find their movies and music on a variety of different devices without having to move things from one device to another.
Oxman says this year you can also expect more from in-car electronics. It's not just about driving directions anymore.
GPS units used to be just a navigation system. Now they come with Bluetooth, so you can hook your cell phone up to it. They even come with media players, so you can play your MP3s or even watch movies through your GPS.
Oxman also says expect to see a bigger LCD television to outdo the 108-inch model from Sharp last year. And even though the move to digital television is still a year away, you'll hear a lot about digital TV sets, as well as converter boxes to make your old set work once analog television goes the way of the dodo bird. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The new year is always a good time for new ideas. From our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin introduces us to a new technology that can zap our trash into thin air.
This new trash technology is based on something as old as the sky. Not the thunder, but the lightning that goes with it. And in this case, the lightning is contained inside our reaction chamber, and the bolt never ends. This man-made lightning is so hot, most things put inside the chamber completely vaporize in seconds. The technology is called plasma gasification, and proponents say it could be the answer to our growing trash problem. Although it uses intense heat, developers insist it's not incineration. The Not In My Backyard crowd has complained for years about emissions from burning trash.
It's a non-combustion process. The waste is not burned. It's converted.
That's Dan Cohn of MIT. He was part of a team that developed a plasma gasification device for a company called Integrated Environmental Technologies. IET says its plasma melter can take a ton of trash down to 5 cubic feet in less than a minute. To see how it worked, I took some of my own trash, an old sneaker, and headed up to Richland, Washington, where IET demos its plasma melter. The stainless steel chamber where the lightning happens is about 5 feet long by 3.5 feet wide. Before the sneaker can go inside the chamber, it has to be shredded. So IET's president Jeff Cirma and four engineers take a bandsaw to it.
Andy looks like he's having fun here.
Yeah.
How many engineers does it take to shred a sneaker? Now for the fireworks. Cirma picks up the play-by-play.
It's going into the plasma zone. So first, the shoe gets processed, pre-processed in the gasifier, and then what doesn't get completely gasified there drops into the high-temperature plasma zone.
That plasma is about the temperature of the sun. Most of the sneaker is vaporized in seconds. The rest comes out looking like a blackish glass bead. IET says beads like this can be used as fill in road construction. Since it was mostly plastic, the sneaker also created about 4 gallons of a gas that could be used to make alternative fuel. Jeff Cirma says rising energy prices have more firms interested in his invention. But plasma melters are still rare in the U.S. Dr. Robert Doe with the Selena Group says that's because the new technology threatens two powerful industries.
You know, we would be taking away large business for the landfill people and the incinerators. So waste companies do not want to see this technology come out. On the other hand, if we produce power, we'll be infringing and disrupting the coal business. and fossil fuel burning business.
Critics say plasma technology uses too much energy and is too expensive. And Steve Bolton with McDonough Brongart Design Chemistry says the technology could send the message that trash is okay, kind of the opposite of reduce, reuse, recycle.
We see waste as a signal of design failure because products and materials can ideally be designed so that they can maintain their flows within closed loops.
In other words, products that can be recycled into items with second and even third lives. But transforming all consumer goods into products like that is a long way off. In the interim, plasma gasification might be the best way to shrink our growing trash problem with technology as elemental as lightning. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
In L.A., I'm Renita Jablonski. Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.